Hello and welcome to the Jewish Activist Network, which follows Datelines Wednesday nights at midnight. Is Datelines followed by 12:30 with the Jewish Activist Network. We'll be broadcasting for the next half hour. I'm Joe Orla, your host here on the Jewish Activist Network. Our call-in number is 718-569-0921.
Yes, and welcome. We're happy to have you with us. There's been a number of interesting headlines. U.S. got Israel to not honor Kahana. U.S. warns Israel not to honor assassinated American. Kahana event would hinder peace. These are some of the headlines following the U.S. government intervention in internal Israeli politics. I'd like to speak about these, and I'd like to hear your calls. Please call immediately, because this is such an important topic, 718-569-0921. That's 718-569-0921. What we have here is an intervention by the U.S. government into internal Israeli politics. And, Joe, what do you think about this? What comes to your mind immediately when you hear headlines such as these?
Well, you know, it wasn't surprising to me. You know, this has been going on for probably as long as the state of Israel has been around, that the U.S. has been very much involved. And especially since, let's say, for example, in 1973, I didn't have time to research this, but the way I've heard it is that Golda Meir, who was prime minister in Yom Kippur 1973 when the war started, she called up the United States, and she was speaking to Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, and basically, if I got it right, that she was consulting with him, you know, what to do. She was not making an independent decision. And Henry Kissinger, who was the Secretary of State, said, take the first hit. In other words, go ahead and let the enemy attack. In other words, because it will be, it'll look better, you know, it'll make better headlines. It'll look better that, that the Jews weren't the first to attack, something like that. So, so what's been going on, I think we should give our audience a little background. I don't know if you have anything there. I didn't do much research on it except to see that someone from the embassy of the government, the embassy of the United States, which is in Tel Aviv, contacted, somebody in the Knesset and basically tried to put the kibosh on a memorial for Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Let me read a few quick excerpts of a few articles, and let me remind the audience of our number, 718-569-0921. Feel free to call any time. I can start calling right now, and we will answer any of the questions, and I'd like to hear what you have to say. Right now, this started with the Jerusalem Post at the end of last week. And I begin reading. Any commemoration in the Knesset on the anniversary of Rabbi Meir Kahana's assassination would be harmful to the peace process, the U.S. Embassy told the Jerusalem Post Wednesday. The American comments came into the Post to tape a series of emails in which an embassy official told Knesset Speaker Reuven Rivlin's office that the possibility of such a ceremony was, quote, something that Senator Mitchell and his team are following with concern. Following the Post report describing Rivlin's denial that he had allowed member of Knesset Michael Ben-Ari to commemorate Kahana in the Knesset plenum, the U.S. administration contacted the Rivlin's office to keep abreast of further developments. So just a comment, you have here the U.S. government keeping abreast of internal Israeli speakers and who's going to speak and what they're going to speak about. Okay, we have a caller, Shmuel Zev. You're on the air with us. Thank you for giving us a call.
Hello, Rabbi. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, first of all, Shkaya, you did a great job. Beautiful show.
Thank you very much. What do you think about this? Could you imagine a foreign government, a U.S. government flying to Israel, calling up the Knesset and saying that they're concerned that somebody's going to speak there, whether there's going to be a memorial service or not?
Right, I don't understand. You should go and cop. These guys are crazy.
You have it's like meddling. It's amazing, meddling into internal Israeli politics, and well, the Knesset they definitely are not. They're not allowing a memorial of this is a Knesset member. It actually happens to be standard procedure that a Knesset member is memorialized on a Knesset floor.
Right, correct. Yeah, totally.
But Yeah, it's a very common thing,
and they do it.
The amazing thing to us is not only the internal politics and the way the U.S. Gets involved, but it's the fear. It's the actual fear that apparently that Raducanu's ideas still give to the U.S. government and probably also to the Israeli government.
Right, Nate. They do it, Namish, as they just won't do it.
Listen, but because I guess they're worried if you even speak about it. In Israel right now, it's actually not allowed to speak, talk about the ideas of Raducanu. But thank you very much, and thank you for your call. 718-569-0921. So continuing the article, following a Post report describing his denial, they wanted further, the U.S. administration contacted Rivlin's office to keep abreast of further developments. And in an exchange of emails between the Knesset Speaker's office and American officials, Second Secretary Mike Pearlstein cited stories in which he, quote, he read that Speaker Rivlin would decide whether such an event could take place in the Knesset. The embassy, he said, no, the U.S. embassy, quote, would like to know if the Speaker has made a decision, and if so, what is the decision? If no decision has been made, we would like to know when he plans to decide. Additionally, Pearlstein added, quote, this is something that Senator Mitchell and his team are following with some concern. The likelihood of such a ceremony taking place was also the subject of a flurry of internal embassy emails in which the U.S. officials scrambled to find out where and when a commemoration of the assassinated far-right-wing rabbi would occur. The American-born Kahana was murdered in New York 19 years ago by an Egyptian-American who was later proved to be a member of the same Al-Qaeda cell that carried out the first terror attack on the World Trade Center in 1993. Kahana, who was a prominent right-wing activist for years, was elected to the Knesset in 1984 when his party, Kach, gained a lone seat. 4 years later, he was ousted when Kach was declared a racist party, and his members were barred from running for the Knesset. Now, my own comment right now, he's actually not racist at all. The Kach platform is a religious platform. It's a platform that, of course, if people, non-Jews, may become Jewish and they decide they want to be part of the Jewish faith, they're just as Jewish as any Jew. And there's nothing to do with race. Nevertheless, the Knesset was frightened, very frightened of his power, because Israel was being wrecked by terrorism, and his message was resonating, and is resonating now. And the fear, and his message was that you cannot have two peoples on the same land saying that the land is theirs, and the Arabs have to go. They could go, they should live in peace, they should go to any of the 22 Arab countries, but not in Israel. His message was that, and his message was about religious law also, that Israel should be a Jewish state, not just run by Jewish people, as a non-Jewish state, as an America, as a copy of all other cultures, but it should be Jewish. And this message was, and he didn't play politics, and because of that, he was feared, and they made laws, special laws, in order to make sure that he cannot run. Okay, we have a few calls. We have a number of calls.
Yeah, okay, we're going to take Yosef. Yosef, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I wish you show lots of luck, and I hope you're going to get more aggressive on the radio, more sharp in your opinion. And what I want to say about Rabbi Kahane, of blessed memory, who's your state was just recently, I'm not going to discuss his qualities or his politics, his activities, but even though I think he's a beautiful, beautiful Jew. What I'm going to say, I just want to compare, let's say if, God forbid, American, is it the chaplain or religious leader or any other American leader was killed by terrorists, whether it's in the course of September 11 events, or I know that we had America lost people in Beirut in the 80s, it was, I think it's CIA, people, and how the Department of State would feel if United States I mean, Israeli ambassador or consul would call and tell, please don't celebrate their memory, don't mark the date, whatever. I think it's
absolutely right.
Absolute intrusion in Israel internal affairs, and it's not America's perpetrated. It's just those bureaucrats in Obama's apparatus, in Department of State. It's Hillary Clinton's people.
Let me just, what you're saying is absolutely correct. I just want to
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that it's Obama now, but things like this have been occurring beforehand. In fact, the U.S. Department of State has put on, at some point, some different groups, and they try to compare them to Hamas and put them and try to label them as terrorists.
Yes.
Different people. So this is an ongoing thing, and what happens is what goes around comes around. That's the way Hashem works, God works. Neither can negative, neither does it. It always comes back.
I agree to that, yes. Why I'm pointing, because, you see, I'm like a man of action. I don't believe in just, just talk. What I'm calling, and I call on everybody who's listening, guys, what we got to do, maybe we should talk to senators, maybe we should address Schumer, maybe we should maybe there is a line, like public line, at Department of State. I don't know. I challenge everybody who's familiar with how the foreign affairs apparatus, the Department of State works, call on this radio and educate us. What can we do to prevent this thing? This is outrage. And it's not a business of ambassador or personnel.
Let me ask you, would you be okay with giving your contact information off the air after this call? So maybe you could get involved, or maybe you can help us, or we can help you.
Well, it depends on what you're pursuing. Yes, I would not be.
Okay, so hang on here. So I thank you for your call, and don't hang up yet. And
I want to ask and challenge everybody, guys. We need to do something about it. We cannot just sit here and watch as our own beloved country's bureaucrats here.
Thank you.
Stay
on the line. We have a few other callers we're going to take, but don't go away. We're going to take your contact information. We have Avraham on the line with us. Okay. Go ahead, Avraham.
Hello, Avraham.
How are you? How you doing? I'm calling to say that maybe I think Israel should remain a separate individual state, not to be sold or anything. I just want to make a statement. Yeah. That Israel should remain an individual state.
As opposed to giving away part of it to an enemy.
Exactly.
As opposed to listening to foreign countries bossing it around, telling what to do.
Right. Yeah.
For both of those.
Right.
And that's what we should realize. Over here, right now, we're talking about a foreign country stepping into Israeli politics, getting involved in the nitty-gritty of the politics of the Knesset for then who's going to speak. I think it's an outrage.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call for that statement.
It should be allowed. Everyone should know that Israel should remain its own state, you know? Yeah.
Well, yeah, 100%, yes.
All right, have a good night.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have Yossi with us. Go ahead, Yossi.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
This is Yossi.
Yeah, go ahead.
The rabbi with the experience, what's your personal take? What do you think the government will do about the jihad? They're just going to blow up everyone as if they just came out of the pizza and, like, they're just blowing everyone up, and what do you think they're going to do about it?
Which could you talking about in Israel or in the United States?
No, in the United States. They just go, they're shooting people, they're blowing people up. It's outrageous.
It's unfortunate, but they have to do something serious.
What case are you referring to?
Because you have many, many more there's a much more potential now, I think, than even in the time of 9/11 for the things to happen.
And by 9/11, they only start taking action like around now. They're starting to sentence the terrorists. I don't understand that. They should have put their foot down right away. You see, because then what they're gonna just think they could go around blowing up the whole New York City and just like that, and then get sentenced like years down the line. It'd be crazy. They should get caught, these guys.
Yep. This is what's gonna happen. Listen, whenever you have two cultures coming and being together that are that diametrically opposed, especially if one of them wants to take over the other one, these things will happen. And the United States should learn from what's happening in other parts of the country. And they certainly should not be telling places that are in the thick of it, such as Israel, telling it what it should and should not do. Because then things will happen back to them if they do that. They should understand what's happening. They should take care of their own country. Of course, they certainly, the United States should take care of itself and listen to people like you. And they should step out and help, not hurt other countries that are involved in what could happen to themselves. Thank you very much for your call.
We should.
Thank you very much, Yossi.
Okay. So let me just read a few other headlines over here. I'm reading now the L.A. Times. I stopped before in the middle of the Jerusalem Post. Let me just see if there's anything. Okay, let me take a look. So let me just read the last two paragraphs of the Jerusalem Post. We were doing it. So I'm going to quote a Knesset member, Ben Ari, who's there now. And it talks about, let me see, okay. So there were posters all around Israel advertising an event in Kahana's memory, which will take place. It took place already. It will take place Thursday with the participation of Amem Knesset Michael Michael Ben Ari. So, quote, first of all, Kahana was my teacher and rabbi, said Ben Ari, when asked by the Jerusalem Post on Monday about his reasons for participating in the event. Quote, he dedicated his whole life to Israel. He was a great man and a great leader. Today, even the left admits that we have a demographic problem. He said that Kach was being thrown out of the Knesset and later declared a terrorist organization. It was simply political. They did it in order to stop him. But they never once caught him doing anything wrong, said Ben Ari. Posters in support of Kahana are common throughout Jewish communities in the West Bank, but are not usually found in secular areas of central Jerusalem, such as Shatz Boulevard. Some passerbys had clearly taken issue with the posters. On some, the picture of Kahana's face was covered by a swastika. Ben Ari declared staunchly that Kahana, quote, was not a racist. He loved Israel, and if that means he was a racist, he was a racist. People who call him racist are the racists. So that's the end of that article. We have a caller.
Yeah, hello.
Hi,
my name is Aaron. How are you doing?
Good, thank God.
Hi. I just want to agree with the caller before. His name is Avram. But, you know,
okay.
Israel should remain a individual state. You know, I'm here and I live in Bell Harbor, New York, and I'm sitting here and I'm in peace, but we have to remember our brothers and sisters are suffering there, you know? We always have to remember that.
Listen, you know, a lot of us live in our bubbles in a sense, I don't mean it negative, in the sense that in your neighborhood, in somebody's neighborhood, everything could be fine, but not that far away, it could be very, very dangerous. And the people who are in the relax and everything seems good right now for them should beware and should come out and should be frightened of what's going on close by, because those things spread. And believe me, Israel is close by. Aside from the fact that now it's already happening, things are happening in the United States. But Israel is close by.
Yeah, I told this.
Nation. And I am right now doing the show from Eretz Yisrael. I'm right now in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, yeah.
I see what's happening here. And if anybody would like to come to Eretz Yisrael, please let us know. You know, we could get you hooked up with people who could give you nice tours to different places.
We're
talking about the whole of Israel. There are a lot of places that should be seen. We could get you, if you're interested in going up to Har HaBayit. That's very nice. I've gone to the high rise sometimes. Please, be in touch with us also if you want to get involved in any way. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, one more thing maybe.
Go ahead.
Okay.
That doesn't really have to do with Israel or anything, but it's about Gatorade becoming kosher. There's a thing in the Jewish world about Gatorade's about to be kosher. What's your say on that?
Is that I'm not sure what is there a problem with that? I'm not exactly sure what your point is.
I'm saying there's no like mashkichim in the place where they're in the factory where they're making it, but I'm saying the way
these large company things are made kosher is that an organization knows exactly what's being put in, and they're spot checked. You'll have, let's see, the OU gives it a hashgacha, right?
Yeah, Gatorade is very good, you know.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
One more main point is people are...
All right, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure, I wasn't sure of the relevance, but just quickly, the way large companies that make food are kosher is that you have an organization that looks after it, make sure that all the ingredients are kosher, and they have to go in and spot check to make sure that nothing else is being put into it. So at times they're there all the time to watch.
Maybe I could do a little riff off of his comment about kashrus and point out that many times the government in Israel, the current government, is characterized as democratic. And Professor Paul Eidelberg, who I've mentioned on this air several times, he's written that it's not democratic. And one of his proofs is that, or one of his points is that governments that are democratic or just claim to be democratic tend to be more susceptible to outside pressure. You can kind of imagine if you have two countries that one against the other that are in a conflict, and one is a dictatorship. And one is a democracy. So if a third party gets involved, say another country, they always tend to see the democracy as the one that should give in. After all, the whole idea of democracy is to use persuasion and not force and so on and so forth. So democracies are at a disadvantage sometimes in a conflict between countries. And I think that's what the United States is exploiting. It recognizes that members of the Knesset may be more open to hearing the point of view of, say, an official of the U.S. government who's acting at the behest of the State Department or possibly even the White House. They're going to be more open, the Knesset, for example, than to what the people in the country might want, because the people in the country don't really have a direct vote. The voting is a different kind of a system, and as I say, it's not a true democracy.
Okay, that's interesting. Very interesting what the Principal Air Book Center is talking about. Now, maybe at some point we could dedicate more time to that.
But my point is also a follow-up to your original question to me, which was, what's my take on this? And my take is, I'm not surprised. This is I think they were just more blatant because the Obama administration is more against the Jewish state. And because they may have thought maybe if they attack Rabbi Kahana's memory, that they have a lot of people on their side who may be with them. And they were just a lot more obvious. This is going on all the time in a lot more subtle ways.
What's interesting, Joe, is also the idea of the fear that's being put in. So I'm looking now at an LA Times article. And this is the headline. Israel, specter of Mayor Kahana continues to haunt politics. This is November 16th. 2 decades after his party was banned from running for seats in the parliament, Rabbi Meir Kahana and his ideas are once more on its agenda. Recently, right-wing legislator Michael Ben-Ari asked to hold a discussion in parliament in memory of Kahana, an American-born rabbi who founded the Jewish Defense League before moving to Israel, and founding the militant nationalist Kach movement that advocated removal of Arabs from the biblical Israel. In 1988, Israeli law was amended to bar candidates who incited racism from running for parliament. Kahana was held a seat for 4 years at the time was banned, and the party was outlawed altogether in 1994. Kahana was assassinated in New York in 1990. Some still subscribe to his views. Then I refiled a motion for a memorial discussion in Parliament to mark the assassination anniversary. A reporter spotted it on the list and queried Parliament Speaker Ruvain Rivlin, who removed it, calling it a provocation. Ben-Ari has challenged Rivlin's decision and has brought it up before a parliamentary committee that will vote on it in a few days. It turns out that other parties expressed keen interest in the issue. but not normal Israeli parties. Rivlin's office received a letter from the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv 2 weeks ago asking whether the planned discussion mentioned in the media was indeed going to be held, pointing out that a special U.S. envoy, George Mitchell, was following this closely with concern. U.S. officials asked for an answer by the end of the day. They got it. Rivlin replied that he would not approve the discussion. Benary was notified of the decision a week later when Rivlin informed the right-wing lawmaker that he would not be allowed to bring Kahana to the Knesset through the back door. End of story. Benary was outraged to learn that the embassy letter, quote, such blatant intervening of the U.S. administration and Israeli parliament should worry every Israeli citizen, certainly everyone in the Knesset. I wish to remind that I was elected to the Knesset by Israeli citizens in the independent state of Israel, and what Mitchell did crossed the red line.
You know, the coup de grace is, I don't know if we've mentioned yet, is that Ben-Ari is trying to get into the United States, and the embassy is not giving him a visa.
Oh, yes, a few paragraphs down. It is also reported that the embassy was holding up Ben-Ari's request for a visa to enter the U.S. over unfinished police business dating back to the disengagement protests. Some talkbackers pointed out that even Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has been allowed into the U.S. It's unreal. Unreal. Listen. They allow Mahmoud Ahmadinejad into the U.S. and they're concerned about somebody who supports Rabbi Kahana's ideas to save Israel.
Let's take Nathan on the air here. Nathan, are you still with us? Go ahead. Nathan? Okay, he's not with us. Yeah, I think the main point that we have to bring out is that the memory of Rabbi Meir Kahana, the thought of Rabbi Meir Kahana, his teachings, and just the concept that his ideas are alive and extant in the activities of Jews today, that has such a great impact that it's perceived to some extent by the United States government as enough to oppose everything that they're trying to do in that area of the world.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's an outrage.
It's a tribute.
In a radio spot, Benary has also invited the public to a Kahana Memorial evening. It was promptly removed after a complaint from the left-wing organization Peace Now. So Peace Now complains to the radio, to Israel Radio, and they remove an ad for a memorial for Rabbi Kahana. It's outrageous. The ad ran once on Israel Radio, a public station belonging to Israel Broadcasting Authority. It was barely 20 seconds. It was sandwiched between a dozen or so assorted advertisements. And ironically, an interview with former left-wing legislator Zahava Golan explaining why we wouldn't attend the annual rally and former Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin's memory, which he said was selling out in the warm embrace of consensus, instead of emphasizing the peace platform that got Rabin assassinated. So the point is, it's sandwiched between many other ones. It's 20 seconds, mentioning a memorial. Peace Now complains about it, and the radio Israeli Broadcasting Authority takes it off.
We have very little time
really
left.
Outrageous.
We have very little time left on the air. Let's take one more caller. Baruch, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, if you can make it.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I think that hot dog should become mochitz because I like.
Okay, so you're tuned in to the Jewish Activist Network. We broadcast Wednesday nights from 12:30.
Let me just mention quickly, if anybody's interested in emails, we can email these links, and you can get an email about what's going to be on the show in the future. We try to get out an email once a week at least, so that you can know what will be on the show. media@jewishactivistnetwork.com, M-E-D-I-A, at jewishactivistnetwork.com. It's all one word, Jewish Activist Network. So please simply send an email and say that you'd like to be on the list, and you'll get an email. Please give us a call, 718-569-0921. You can give us a call off the air. We have 60 seconds left, so we're not really going to take new calls right now. But we'd like you to get involved with us and tell your friends to listen to us every Wednesday evening. You can give us a call during business hours, and if we're not there to pick up, we'll leave a message. So just to wrap it up, we feel that it's an outrage that the United States is getting involved in Israel. It's an outrage that Israel lets itself be pushed around. And we'd like to know what you have to say. You can give us a call. And thank you very much for listening.